Member FDIC.
This week we'll see the launch of the largest polar research project in 50 years. Thousands of scientists from more than 60 countries will study the Arctic and Antarctica for the next 2 years. Crime drama The Departed and its director Martin Scorsese won top honors at the Academy Awards last night. Helen Mirren and Forrest Whitaker won best acting prizes. The FCC is expected to hit Univision with a record $24 million fine. The network is accused of failing to meet its children's programming obligation. South Korea and the U.S. are calling their latest trade talks highly successful. The two countries have until the end of March to sign its long-anticipated free trade agreement. Legislation's been introduced in Sacramento which would add $2,500 to the price tag of an SUV and other gas guzzlers. That money would be used to decrease prices for hybrids. The so-called clean car discount would be the first in the nation. Crude futures are on the rise for the fourth session in a row on concerns of Iran's nuclear program and wintry weather in the Midwest. And the Lundberg surveys reporting gas rose nearly 13 cents a gallon within the past couple of weeks. The highest prices at the pump were found in San Francisco. Right now, crude oil is going for $60.85 a barrel. And because of Iran's continued standoff, metal's safe haven allure is more attractive right now. Gold at $686.50 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And now from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. How did Al Gore transform himself from a piece of cardboard to the hippest, coolest ex-vice president America has ever known? Did you see the Oscars last night? I mean, he looked downright cool. And it wasn't just that, of course, An Inconvenient Truth won the Oscar for Best Documentary, or that Melissa Etheridge, whose music also won for best musical score, that she, of course, praised Al Gore for what he'd done. It was the way people talked about him throughout. Even the jokes, right? Even Ellen DeGeneres' jokes. She pointed out that one of the winners had done well, even though people hadn't voted for her on American Idol. And then there was Al Gore, who was doing well, despite the fact that America had voted for him. It's interesting. I heard a term I hadn't heard before last night. Probably many of you have heard it. I guess I'm not cool enough. But he's now being called the Goracle. I have often argued that Al Gore is someone who really was always ahead of his time. Way back in the 1970s, he was ahead of his time in understanding the nuclear arms race and in understanding what we needed to do to both protect ourselves and at the same time draw down on nuclear weapons. In the 80s, he really was a visionary on the internet. He truly was someone who understood the power of the internet, the power of what the internet could do, and the power of how government support for the internet, making it not just for defense but for private use as well, could transform the American economy. And who can argue that the internet has not transformed the American economy? No, he didn't claim to ever have created the internet. There can be no doubt, and you can ask any of the internet geeks if you don't believe me, ask anybody you know who had an active role in creating the internet. Al Gore did more than any single politician in America to help make the internet what it is today. And now, of course, there's global warming. Ahead of his time. He was arguing about global warming at a time when people weren't sure it was happening. And now that we know it is happening, he has taken a leadership. And please understand, he isn't like the Clintons going around getting tens of millions of dollars from really anyone who'll pay them. He isn't like that. He isn't like the Republicans who are, you know, financing anyone and everyone. This is a guy who went with a slideshow and a dream. A guy who was derided after the 2000 election. And he, by sheer force of will, has put global warming on the national agenda. Did you see how the actors, singers, and producers looked at Al Gore last night? Looked at him with reverence, looked at him with awe, looked at him in the way that people look on a true leader. You could see it in Melissa Etheridge's eyes. You could see it in the tears of the people who stood up there with Al Gore when he won the documentary, even his own humor. So, yes, it's without dignity, perhaps, but I'm begging you, Al, will you please be our president? I mean, I know that in the past, Democrats and Republicans, people don't like to vote for someone who's taken a nomination and didn't win the presidency. But you did win, sir. And you know you won, sir. And it's not just a matter of your winning the popular vote by 540,000 votes, a larger margin than Carter v. Ford, some four times the margin by which Kennedy beat Nixon, or by which Nixon beat Humphrey. No, you won the electoral vote. The majority of the people of Florida voted for you, and it's really beyond historical dispute that it's true. You won the election of 2000, and despite the Supreme Court coup d'etat, you retain an immense amount of respect before the American people. Now, you know, I mean, Hillary Clinton would be a fine president, Barack Obama a fine president, but really, Al, you got something they don't. But you have shown the American people are their ideas more important than money and than power. You are clearly someone who is not in it for power, but in it to make this world a better place. Run, Al, run. Al Gore probably will not run for president. I'm still hoping he will. I hope you'll join me in the draft Al Gore campaign. And it'll probably be between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. That the press certainly wants that kind of battle. That's why Maureen Dowd wrote her snarky article last week, in which she pressed David Geffen, who didn't want to talk negatively about either candidate, David Geffen being the Hollywood movie mogul, pressed him hard about the Clintons and telling the truth until he finally gave the comment that's been widely reported about. Every politician lies, but the Clintons do it with ease. Yeah, well, frankly, we've all said worse about the Clintons, perhaps in private. Obama, to his credit, stayed above the fray. There's really not much of a fray here. The media seems determined to take the Democratic candidates down. And I have to say, if I have to pick a vice presidential choice right now to my candidate of Al Gore, we could do a lot worse than Barack Obama, whose intelligence, whose charisma, whose eloquence really leaves people open-jawed, and also his profound decency. I mean, this is a man who seems so far to be saying and doing the right things, even when people try to be snarky with him. He says, you know what, that's between the Clintons and David Geffen. Good answer, Barack. Keep it up. Now, Robert on my blog says, you know, Mark, what about Wesley Clark? You know, what about him? Isn't he the best vice presidential candidate? No. Skip writes it on the blog. Apologize, Robert. Robert may write something else. Skip writes on the blog. How about Wes Clark? Many of you may recall I endorsed Wes Clark for president 4 years ago when I was just beginning the Inside Scoop. And I still have a profound respect for the man. And yes, I would be very happy to see Wes Clark as vice president. I'd be very happy to see him as president of the United States. Maybe it should be a Clark Obama ticket. I hope he does run. I'm not quite sure that he is. No disrespect to Wesley Clark. He's a fine choice as well. I've always had tremendous respect for how he handles military might. As the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, he was someone who understood how to fight a war. Our successful war in Bosnia, even though Bosnia was like Iraq in the sense that it was a civil war, a war of ethnic cleansing. And we won the war without losing a single American life. Can you imagine that? I mean, every day you hear, seven Americans killed today, eight Americans killed, 10 Americans killed, 25 wounded, blah, 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 just another day in Iraq. And Wesley Clark fought an entire war. Bill Clinton fought an entire war. Without losing a single American life? And I'm not saying that should be the standard for all wars. I understand that in wars, some Americans will die. But a perfect score? I mean, when the pitcher pitches a perfect game in baseball, you know, it's awe-inspiring. But a perfect war? Amazing. You're right, Skip. I don't mean to pick on Wes Clark. Let's see if he runs. I'd be happy to have him as our president or our vice president. Got a lot of faith in Wesley Clark because he also understands that negotiation has to precede war. Meanwhile, in Iraq and in the rest of the Middle East, George Bush has done an amazing turnabout from trying to combat Osama bin Laden dead or alive to actively aiding al-Qaeda. Sounds too amazing to be true. But Seymour Hersh's article in The New Yorker makes it plain. And after the break, I will tell you the details of the new United States policy to help Sunni extremist groups against Shiite extremist groups, the same ones we're aiding in Iraq. Sound confused? Well, it is confusing. It's also really dangerous, and I'll give you the inside scoop right after the break. It is the Weekly Review. All topics are valid. Toll-free number 888-488-MARK, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Let me hear from you. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. So, is Bush helping Al-Qaeda? Could that really be true? Sounds like a conspiracy theory, but this one, I'm afraid, is backed up. We know, or you should know, that, of course, America did help Al-Qaeda prior to the attack on the World Trade Center. We helped the Mujahideen in Afghanistan attack the Soviet Union. This would date back to Jimmy Carter's time in the late 1970s, but definitely extended to and encouraged and embraced by the Reagan administration throughout the 80s. Then came the blowback. We seem to be good at blowback. We helped Noriega before he became an enemy of the United States. We helped the Shah of Iran, and when his downfall came, we created an enemy. We helped Marcos in the Philippines. We seem to help these dictators. Oh, and let's not leave out Saddam Hussein. But in the 1980s, for a decent amount of time, we mostly stayed out of the Iran-Iraq War. We didn't stay out, of course. But generally, as the Sunnis in Iraq, the Sunni government of Iraq, was sending Shiites and Sunnis to die against the Shiites of Iran, a million people died in an extremely bloody war. That's, of course, when the chemical attacks on the Kurds occurred. Really, the amount of Kurds that died was very small compared to the amount of Shiites and Sunnis that massacred each other. And, of course, we played both sides. We supported Saddam Hussein. Donald Rumsfeld went there, shook his hand. Dick Cheney, George Shultz, Halliburton. We gave Saddam Hussein the chemical weapons he needed against Iran. At the same time as Ronald Reagan was selling arms for hostages in Iran. But American troops weren't dying. We didn't have the stupidity to stick our troops right on the border between Iran and Iraq as they shot each other indiscriminately. But guess what we're doing now? It's not just, as I've reported in the past, that we are helping the Shiites in Iraq do ethnic cleansing of the Sunnis. They were helping the Maliki government, Shiite-controlled Maliki government, kill all the Sunnis that are fighting the government. The Shiite death squads, they're laying low. They're letting us do their dirty work for them so that when we leave, they can go about their ethnic cleansing of the Sunnis. So we're helping the Shiite extremists. Great. And in Lebanon, we're helping the Sunni extremists, who, guess what, have ties to Al-Qaeda. That's right. Right now, George Bush has closer ties to Al-Qaeda than Saddam Hussein ever had. I shall repeat. George Walker Bush, three-quarters Bush, not George Herbert Walker Bush, George Walker Bush, our current president, and Dick Cheney have closer ties to Al-Qaeda than Saddam Hussein ever had. Of course, Saddam Hussein never had any ties to Al-Qaeda. Our president's ties consist of aiding terrorist groups in Lebanon, Sunni terrorist groups who are fighting Hezbollah. Now, I don't have any sympathy for Hezbollah. I hate Hezbollah. Hezbollah is trying to overturn a democratically elected Lebanese government. Okay? So, I don't like either side. I don't have to like either side. Hezbollah and Iran and Ahmadinejad, who denies the Holocaust and blames Jews for all the problems in the world, I'm no fan of his. But I ain't no fan of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda either. And when your vicious enemy fights your vicious enemy, here's a new one, let them kill each other. why are we involved? It's not like we don't have plenty of money to help the Sunni extremists. Heck, Saudi Arabia's been doing it for decades, and they're doing it now. They're fighting them in Lebanon. Fine. Saudi Arabia wants to be involved. Fine. In Iraq, in Iran, in Lebanon. Heck, even if Israel wants to get involved, but they live in the region, let them aid one side or another. Frankly, I think Israel is smart to stay out, like the United States. But heck, it's not my country. But in the United States, we have Americans sitting like sitting ducks in the middle of a civil war, trying to fight, really, the war as it existed 3 years ago. Finally now, 3 years ago, we recognize that they're insurgents. We recognize it's not former Baathists, it's not Saddam Hussein. There were insurgents 3 years ago. Those are the ones we're fighting now, but the war's changed, my friends. We're now, of course, in the middle of a civil war between Sunnis and Shiites, and Americans are dying and being wounded in massive numbers as we lose hundreds of billions of dollars. And now, in the ultimate irony to 9/11, the same vice president who was accusing Nancy Pelosi of helping the terrorists, right? I mean, that's what he's doing. Dick Cheney said, and I'm going to quote this, "My statement was that if we adopt the Pelosi policy, then we will validate the strategy of Al-Qaeda. I said it and I meant it," unquote. Cheney says that Al-Qaeda thinks they can break us, and if we show that we're going to cut and run, then Pelosi, you know, you're helping the terrorists. Well, you know, whether Pelosi's rhetoric helps the terrorists, I don't know. I don't know. After all, in Iran, you know, in Iraq, we're helping the Shiites kill Al-Qaeda. But in Lebanon, Cheney is helping Al-Qaeda against Hezbollah, against Iran, against the Shiites. So Pelosi's rhetoric is bring the American troops home out of the battlefield, and Cheney argues that helps one side or the other. But Cheney is actively helping one side. Actively. If you haven't read Seymour Hersh's article, you need to go to my website, RadioInsideScoop.com. There's a link right there. And read about it. And you know what? I understand the sympathies. I'm not a fan of Hezbollah. But wouldn't we understand that when we meddle in all these local civil wars, when we meddle, we end up getting blowback? When will we understand that? Toll free numbers 888-488-6275. Head on, of course, is 877-4 head on. Give me a call. Let me know what you think.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Back to the Inside Scoop. There's an old joke, I think it's been in many cartoons in the newspapers, where a guy has a table. It's got four legs. And his wife tells him, hey, the legs are a bit uneven. One of the legs is shorter than the other, so he cuts the other three legs. But then one of those is a little bit too short, so he cuts the other leg. Then it's too short. He cuts the other leg. Well, then the other one's too short, so he cuts it, and he keeps going until all four legs are cut off the table. We have been doing this with Shiites and Sunnis for the last 40 years. Certainly the last 30 years. We worry about Shiite power, so we help the Sunnis. We worry about Sunni power, so we help the Shiites. We build up the Shah of Iran because we're worried about Sunni power. Then when the Shah gets overthrown by Khomeini, we're worried about the
folks, due to technical glitches we've been having here at the studios today, there's some problems. We're working on it, and we'll get back with Mark in just a moment. But until then, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Radio Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Like a bird on the wing. Every
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing really anything you want to talk about. It is the weekly review, the 2008 elections, the weird aid that George Bush is now giving to Al-Qaeda. Sounds like a conspiracy theory. Unfortunately, it is true. Go to the phone lines, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Phil, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi there, Mark.
Hello, hello. How are you, sir?
The fair to medium today. I want to talk about Condoleezza Rice on ABC this week with George Stephen Kiss Their Ass.
Yes.
I just love how she talked about how the Democrat-controlled U.S. Congress shouldn't interfere with the conduct of the Iraq War. She said that. She also went ahead and said during her appearance that the Congress is kind of micromanaging the military affairs as if Congress doesn't have any constitutional authority to do that. To me, this is the most blatant statement coming out of the White House, coming out of Condoleezza Rice's mouth, about what we have in place in Washington. They think they're dictators. They think they're the executive branch makes all the decisions, and that's not the facts, you know.
Well, that's certainly true. That's how they've ruled for so long. They're so used to having a Republican rubber stamp Congress that they hardly know what to do with Nancy Pelosi. I mean, literally, Dick Cheney, the man who himself committed a traitorous act by outing a CIA agent to hide lies about the war, is accusing Nancy Pelosi of treason, in effect, saying that she's helping Al-Qaeda by wanting to end our misadventure in Iraq.
Well, you know,
the irony is that they literally are helping Al Qaeda now, and I got the proof that they're doing it. And if you haven't read that New Yorker article that I linked to my website, you please do that, and I encourage other people to do so as well. Yeah, Condoleezza Rice, she is being told what to do. She does whatever she can to please the administration. And they're living in a dream world. They're living in a world of Netherland where you don't look at the actual facts on the ground and you sort of pretend that it's all, I don't know, some Western or something.
Or some World War II docudrama or a movie. And
exactly.
The fact of the matter is, you know, that I've been annoyed for a couple of weeks now between this non-binding resolution, between Nancy Pelosi last week saying that she trusts George W. Bush at his word when he says he's going to use diplomacy with Iran, really got my goat. Because let's face it, we're hearing the same spin, the same justifications, the same weapons of mass destruction, nuclear threat reasons for going to attack Iran as we heard prior to the invasion of Iraq. And Congress is dragging their feet, in my opinion. There was a good resolution in the House, H.R. 413, by Congressman Sam Farad of California here, that was plain and simple. It revokes the resolution that gave him the authorization to use force against Iraq if Saddam Hussein's government was a threat.
So here's the thing. Here's what's going on in Washington. The Democrats are overwhelmingly, I mean, I think you could get every single senator, with the exception of independent Joe Lieberman and seriously ill Tim Johnson. But every single Democratic senator would vote for such a resolution, revoking authorization. And we could probably get Chuck Hagel, Republican of Nebraska, to do so as well. They just don't have enough votes. The Republicans are filibustering a revocation of the resolution. They have put in a filibuster. These same Republicans that argued that Democratic filibuster of judges was somehow wrong and they needed to have an up or down vote are refusing to allow an up or down vote on the war. So it's not a question, at least in the Senate, of the Democrats backing down. It's a question of the votes. And it may be that we can't get enough senatorial votes until 2008 because Republicans, people who claim to be moderate Republicans, people like Coleman in Minnesota, or Olympia Snow and Collins of Maine, they're not on record as supporting this resolution. I think you'll find that every single Democrat, with the exception of Joe Lieberman, who we know about, is on record as revoking that resolution. Now, I didn't hear Pelosi's comment about Iran and trusting Bush. I would be surprised if she said it exactly like that, but I didn't see the comment.
Well, yeah,
what did she say about it?
Quote, I put it up last week on my thing. I'm Philip Rockwell, by the way, with Powers and Morrison.
Yeah, what did Pelosi say? That we trust Bush to use diplomacy? I mean, I hope he uses diplomacy. I would think Pelosi would support diplomacy, but I'm surprised she would use the word trust in any way connection with George Bush.
I'll trust President Bush at his word that he'll use diplomacy. Unbelievable, you know. How can you trust this administration
for anything? You can't. Obviously, you can't trust this administration.
Where are the people, Mark? Where are the protesters? I mean, this is another issue with me as well. Pre-planned protests, the great ones with Tim Robbins and everything else that are staged and put together, and we come out, and it's great, you know, and we feel good for a day. Then we go back to our little lives. That hasn't worked for 4 years. I think we're going to need to think about doing something different here soon if Congress doesn't have the ability.
I think people need to call their members of Congress, particularly, frankly, those of you that have Republican members of Congress, and let them know that the Republican Party will be not just a minority party, because right now it's a bare minority party, but will be a serious minority party for decades to come unless they take a stand on this. Now, there's one Republican that has, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska. Every single other one is running and ducking for cover. And one of the things they're doing is they're trying to insist that the Democrats are trying to defund the troops, which I don't think is such a bad idea. I do think Jack Murtha went about it the wrong way in that he simply – it's funny how personalities matter in Washington. They really shouldn't. It should all be about policy. But Murtha tried out his own plan. He didn't tell any of his fellow Democrats, so they didn't know what he was talking about. And then the whole thing got trashed by the Republicans. I'm hopeful. They're coming back in this week. And I think a lot's going to happen this week. Congress, generally, they come in on Monday night, so they're really coming tonight. I think you're going to see the Democrats come together, at least I really hope so, over this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and come up with a united, coherent policy. Again, Joe Lieberman won't support it, but the rest of them will. And I think they need to argue for the revocation, and I think they shouldn't be averse to cutting off troops. Now, I had Mike Lane, Republican strategist, argue with me last week that, oh, you're stranding the troops out in the field. That's the kind of rhetoric that Democrats are afraid of. But they shouldn't be afraid of it, because obviously if Congress cuts off the funds, the president should be using what funds are left to turn around those troops and transports and bring them home. And if he leaves them there with the, what, when the money runs out, that's his fault. That's
yeah,
not
how about the $12 billion that's missing? You know, let him find that and use that.
Right. I think it's eight, but it's that's still 360 tons of money.
Still, you know, there are so
many huge amount of money.
Administration, Mark, and I just hope you're right about what's going to happen this week, and I hope.
Well, you know, part of that's hope. It's part prediction.
Make strong statements against this and say, look, what we're doing with this resolution is we're defending the Constitution of the United States. We're not propping up a dictator. We're not cutting back or hurting the troops. What we're doing is we're trying to operate under the Constitution of the United States, which used to mean something in America.
I'll tell you, Phil, it is, I have to admit, it is two parts prediction and one part hope. I hope the Democrats get their act together. It's hard. It's kind of like herding cats, as Will Rogers once famously said. I'm not a member of any organized party. I'm a Democrat. We'll be right back after this break. If you want to call in, toll-free number is 877-4HEAD-ON or 888-488-MARK. I want to talk about the Scooter Libby trial. The jury is out. It should also come back this week, as we learn that Republicans think that perjury is now not that big a deal. 877-4HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others, reach out, and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
California's adult education system is proudly celebrating 150 years of success. I'm Jack O'Connell, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. As a teacher of adult learners, I ask you to join me in celebrating this important milestone. Each year, adult education helps nearly 1.5 million Californians become better literate citizens, high school graduates, fluent in English, or ready for college. To learn more about adult education in your community, contact your local school district.
from Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. People outside the Beltway don't seem to be noticing, but here in Washington, the entire city continues to be transfixed by the Libby trial. The jury is out. The prosecution and defense have rendered their final arguments after kicking out much of the jury for believing Dick Cheney capable of lies. And if you haven't lived in a hole, how can you not believe Dick Cheney capable of lying? They didn't put Cheney on the stand. No surprise there. Do we really need another perjury trial? I think we do. But the vice president was not going to take the stand. I kind of wish Scooter Libby had called him as a hostile witness myself, but heck, I'm not the prosecutor in the case. Still, we did learn from the trial that Cheney was obsessed with taking down Joe Wilson. Again, nothing new to listeners of The Scoop, but maybe for the rest of America, we learned that when Cheney found out that Wilson told the truth about there being no nuclear weapons or purchases from Niger, nothing going on in Iraq, he hit the roof. How dare Wilson tell the truth? Just because I ordered the CIA to look it up, and just because Wilson looked it up and found out there was nothing wrong, how dare he tell the Americans the truth? I will out a CIA agent if I have to. I'll do what George Bush Sr. called a traitorous act if I have to. I'll do anything to bring us to war. And then once we in war, based on...
Thank everyone for tuning in today. We're having some technical problems here in the studio, and we are shutting down for right now, and hopefully we will be back up by the time that John Fox comes on. As with everything, sometimes you have these problems, but we hope you'll join us this evening. Thank you all, and you're listening to the Head On Radio Network and the Radio Inside Scoop with Mark Levine. We'll be right back.
that he's got his big kind of push to try and fix some things. But then you look at the Republican ex-presidents, they all go back to making money and making war.
Right. I do know for a fact that Jimmy Carter didn't go out and start pushing paper either. He went out almost to the day after he got out of office and literally picked up the hammer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Blew me away. Here's this ex-president with his security detail, because they weren't going to go away that soon. And he's out there with his stupid hammer building houses.
That's a leader, and it's amazing. It really is amazing the distortion of the man in the eyes of the general public and the media. Regardless of what you might have thought of him as president at the time, he's proved to be one, right, and second, to be pretty righteous. He's the kind of born again Christian I can handle. Because he lets it guide him towards a positive life and trying to help others and doing things for your fellow man, which I think is actually what the whole religion's supposed to be about. I don't know when, hate and destruction all kind of got put into the mix, but he put solar panels on the White House, which Ronnie Reagan ripped off first thing he got in. I think you can see who cares and who doesn't.
Yeah. He is far and away, even among, as far as I know, even among the Democrats, he is the only truly honorable president we've ever had.
I have to agree with you. And like I said, the fact that, and you said it, he got out of office and the first thing he did was, okay, I can't help the nation and people anymore as president. I can now do what I can as a private citizen, and goes out there with a hammer and starts building homes that poor people can own.
Yeah, I loved him to death when he was in office, and I love him still.
Yeah, and I grew up in a real right-wing household, so, I was fed the Kool-Aid on him for a long, long time, and it took my grand awakening for me to have a second look at him and realize how wrong I was and how blind I was to someone who really was a good man and still is. He goes and monitors elections all over the world, he's got his heart and his mind in the right place.
We're top of the hour, but I just wanted to bring up the Malthusian thing and Venus, because people, if we don't fix it, the planet will fix it for us, and we won't like it.
Nope, we're not going to. It's good. It's good. There are bad things on the horizon if we don't get moving quick. And Susan, thank you so much for ringing in. I really appreciate it.
All right, have a
great night. All right, folks, we're just about up on top of it, and so we got to run the credits as usual. The program was produced by the slightly drug-addled Agnes, who is still suffering double pneumonia and refuses to get the rest that she needs. Everyone email her and tell her, sleep, dear, sleep. also, always thank you to Peter Gobble, the Gobble Computers, for keeping the bits running in the home studio and elsewhere. The Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters for making everything on the horn possible. Mr. Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions in Sydney for all the music, our mods in the chat room, our news ninjas, and thank you, Gene. You've been sending me such great stories, and I didn't even get to my bus driver story. I'll try and remember that tomorrow. Stick around. I believe it's Wednesday night, so that means it's Beer Meeting Edition. Get ready. Pull up a pew. It's time for Brother Bob to go after the religion industry, and shortly after that, my best mate, Bruce Birch, will take you through the evening. So Thanks for joining me again, folks. Remember, you can drop me a line at John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. Love to hear from you. Send us your stories. Tell me what you're doing in your own community to make a difference, you know, because, I mean, it seriously is, you know, that think globally, act locally thing really, really is it. That is it. So with that, this is it. Thanks for joining me, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Yes, I'd love to have you join us if you remember it, Mikey. Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. I'll never stop. Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. I'll never stop. I've been running hard. Running hard. But you got me ticket for the whole time. Start me up, start me up, baby, start me up, stop. You make a grown man cry,
cry.
You make a grown man cry,
cry.
You make a grown man cry,
cry.
Grab the oil, gasoline. I ride smooth. She's a clean machine.
So let's start it up,
start it up.
You wanna start again? All you got. I can't compete, with the riders in the alley. You can rough it up.
Rough it up.
Hey, if you like it, you can slide it up. Come on, slide it up now. Grown man cry.
Cry.
Don't make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Don't make a grown man cry.
Cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
This is the Quality News Network. More than 100 people were killed in Baghdad today, including 65 who died in a bombing at a university. Gunmen later opened fire at a market in a mostly Shiite neighborhood, killing at least 11. Also, the U.S. military reported that 4 more U.S. soldiers died yesterday. According to an Associated Press count, that raises the total U.S. death toll since March 2003 to 3,026. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says today's violence is a result of yesterday's executions of Saddam Hussein's 2 co-defendants. In an interview with PBS, President Bush said Saddam's execution looked like a revenge killing. He was also heavily critical of al-Maliki, saying that his new government, quote, has still got some maturation to do. In Afghanistan today, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said he wants to extend the tours of 1,200 U.S. forces. The Taliban has stepped up attacks in Afghanistan in recent months. Gates also said Pakistan must do more to stop Taliban fighters from crossing over the border into Afghanistan. Russia has admitted it's selling $1 billion worth of military equipment to Iran, including anti-aircraft missile systems. Western governments are widely critical of the deals. However, the Associated Press reports that the U.S. military has sold surplus equipment, including fighter jet parts and missile components, to countries including Iran. The Pentagon's public surplus sales brought in about $57 million in the 2005 fiscal year. In Israel, the country's Army Chief of Staff has stepped down. That follows criticism over his handling of the 34-day war with Lebanon over the summer. Also in Israel, officials have launched an investigation into Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's actions during the privatization of a state bank last year. The probe will focus on whether Olmert, who was finance minister at the time, used his position to try to send the deal to two of his close friends. The deadly ice storm enveloping Mid-America has moved into the Northeast. More than 40 people have been killed, and 500,000 customers are without power. Schools, businesses, and roadways are closed down from Maine to Texas. Jury selection began today in the trial of former Vice Presidential Chief of Staff Louis Scooter Libby. Opening statements are expected to begin on Monday. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Zoological Society of London has created a project to protect some of the planet's strangest endangered animals. The project's leaders say creatures like the pygmy hippopotamus and tiny loris